relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, dear friends. Happy Friday. It's Ask Dr. G Anything Friday. It's Second Amendment Friday, and we have an absolutely packed show for you. No monologue today. Sorry, maybe in the second hour, but we have a very, very special guest. We are honored, I think, just 4 days, 3 days after he's taken up his new position, to be joined by none other than the president of the conservative mothership, the Heritage Foundation. He is Dr. Kevin Roberts. He comes from the Texas Public Policy Foundation with a sterling record, and he is now the big man at Heritage. Dr. Roberts, welcome to America First.
Seb, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure, my friend.
All right, so you bring a very, very strong reputation for being a serious Texan on the issues of conservatism. We are huge fans of Ed Faulkner. Full disclosure, my wife is a director at the Heritage Foundation. We are close friends with Kay Coles James, the outgoing president, who is a rock star, been on the show several times. I just want to give you a platform in front of 3 million patriots. You mentioned three or four big priorities for you. I was a strategist in the White House. You can't do strategy unless you prioritize things. You can't fix everything at once. So tell Americans across the country what Heritage's new priorities are under your leadership.
Number one, education. And by that, I mean if we in the conservative movement don't take advantage of the absolute frustration that Americans, including some of whom are apolitical, have with the indoctrination in our schools, we've missed the opportunity of a lifetime. Education, number one. Number two, big tech. It is past time, as you know from your experience, Seb, for our institutions, starting with the Heritage Foundation, to recognize that big tech is the enemy of the state, to name them as such, and to develop policy reforms as a result. We have the definitive set of solutions coming out in the next days that will describe that. And thirdly, China. I, like you, understand the threat that the Soviet Union was to freedom, to Americans, to people around the world. I'm a son of the 1980s. We have failed as a country to recognize and to name China as the same kind of enemy that the Soviet today, that the Soviet Union was then, and Heritage is going to be leading the way there.
If not worse than the Soviet Union, because they are at war with us right now, economically, propaganda-wise, financially, you name it. One thing you mentioned in front of your Heritage team is also the phrase, the deep state, which made me feel good because it is real. I experienced it. Explain to our listeners what the deep state means to you.
What the deep state means to me is a group of unelected bureaucrats who believe that they can make decisions, not being elected. They can make decisions that contravene leaders of administrations like President Trump, and run the country, sometimes, often, as you know better than anyone, in great secrecy. And it, I think one of the great measures of success for us, Seb, as conservatives will be in the next few years, hopefully no more than that, being able to eliminate the deep state from the American bureaucracy. Bureaucracy is bad enough, but the deep state, especially the deep state that's in the intelligence departments, the State Department, is particularly inimical to what we believe as Americans.
I want to move on, but because this is personal to me, I have to ask you, can that be done without taking over the arms of political power? Can that be done from a think tank? Can taking on the deep state be done outside of the White House?
No, not solely, but it's really important to your question that the think tank world, the policy organization world outside the arms of power, name it for what it is. Because it's not just a perception, but there's some legitimacy to the perception that some organizations, not the Heritage Foundation, are, you know, rather enamored with the idea of the deep state because it's a way of perpetuating power outside the direct purview of the American people. Therefore, by my rationale is, by being so outspoken about the deep state being a problem, we can make sure that when our friends are in power again, hopefully in the next few years, that they have the power to take care of it.
I give you full credit for using that phrase because it has to begin there. You cannot deal with a problem unless you diagnose it, and you had the intestinal fortitude to use that phrase. We're talking to Kevin Roberts, PhD. He is the president of the Heritage Foundation. Join today, heritage.org, and follow this man at Kevin Roberts TX. You're a historian by training. I want to read what you've written in your first piece as president. There's a very important sentence here. Today, the most recent Republican president did more to advance conservative policy goals than the two previous Republican presidents combined, but ultimately less than he might have with a more cohesive movement and a clearer agenda, both impeded by the sclerotic D.C. establishment. Now, you know, inside baseball, I know Heritage. I've advised Heritage for several years. We've had a kind of belly button examination for a while in the Trump era, where we're saying, well, what is conservatism? This question that most people really find to be too philosophical. Mm-hmm. Then there's this many people inside the conservative establishment who have, oh no, we can't talk about nationalism. We can't talk about populism. And Brexit, that's just not Reagan and Thatcher. You're very clear. You use these phrases. You talk about channeling the forces of nationalism and populism. Will you give your vision of a Trump, post-Trump? I don't mean, you know, I think he's going to be back. He's going to be elected. But what is the conservative challenge? Are we going to be bogged down in semantics? Are we going to be bogged down in what is a synonym for conservatism in the 21st century? Or can we get our arms around things like Brexit and make America great again?
I think among the many things that President Trump taught us, you know, beyond just the policy successes, the judicial successes, was that we just need to call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
And it's not that President Trump is an anti-intellectual. It's that he is as frustrated with that navel-gazing and beard-stroking as the average American.
Right.
And he understands, I talked to him a few weeks ago, that there is a very important role for an organization like the Heritage Foundation, which is to have those conversations to develop the policy reform. But this is the really important thing, Seb, mm-hmm. and it gets straight to the heart of your question, whether or not he decides to run, that conservatism and Americanism has a decidedly strong Trump flavor. And by that, I don't even mean something specific philosophically, as much as a typical American attitude of getting things done.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we have to be focused on, whether or not he runs.
All right. Perfectly put. Let's talk about the other side of the aisle. As son of those who were persecuted under communist dictatorship, my father having been tortured, imprisoned by the communists and then liberated from a political prison. For many years, as an immigrant, when Americans who were born here said, you know, the Democrats, the other side, they're socialists or they're communists. I used to get pissed. I used to get pissed off and I used to say, really? Can I talk to you about communism? Can I talk to you about the scars on my dad's body from the torturers, from the secret police? If I may, Kevin, I don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is real socialism.
It is.
What do you think?
I agree. I used to say that when I was a history professor and, you know, mixed audience of students. And I want to be respectful as a professor, even as a conservative one. of the opposing views. So I'm not trying to call anybody out. Everyone's getting a fair shake. But to your point, I used to go out of my way to say, we want to be careful about calling leftists socialists because it's not really true. And I give this seemingly brilliant academic response, right? Well, real life, especially in the last 10 years, especially last two, has proven to me that's not the way to go. And therefore, I mean it when I say it. It's not hyperbole. That radical American leftists are as steeped in socialism, unfortunately, as the socialism your family endured.
Yeah. God bless you for being a little bit Trumpian, if I may. I don't want to get anybody,
Oh, you call me Trumpian, I'll take it, brother.
Wow, did you hear that? The president of the Heritage Foundation says, I'll take it, brother. Why? Because for me, it's not about the personalities. It's not about the accent. It's not about the tweets. It's about common sense. As an American now, I think it is one of the vital common characteristics of Americans. It's common sense. And if you see something is bust, you've got to fix it. And I think this man is on a mission to help patriots fix the swamp. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We are talking to Dr. Kevin Roberts. He is the new president of the Heritage Foundation, formerly of the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Follow him at Kevin Roberts TX. We've only just started. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't you dare touch that dial.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Stand With Israel Tour.
Guys, you are amazing. Almost 400 kids are going to get a better Christmas because of you and because of Chuck Colson's Prison Fellowship Program. Every year, the Angel Tree Campaign gets a Christmas gift from an incarcerated parent to their child. More than a million children across America are without a mother or father because they're behind bars. Be that Christmas angel. 70% of these kids are going to end up in prison themselves. Let's break that cycle. You can be that person. $25 gets them a Christmas gift, a message from their parent, and the gospel. Please support as many as you can. If you've weathered the COVID storm, how about this? How about $125 to help five children feel loved and a little bit less vulnerable this Christmas? Donate as much as you can. Go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Angel Tree banner at the very, very top, or just call 888-206-2794. That's 888-206-2794, or just go to S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and click at the very, very top on the Angel Tree banner. God bless every single one of you who've already helped and everyone who will. We are back with the brand new. He's shiny. He's so new. He is
especially his forehead. Right?
Well, that's TMI. I mean, TMI. We're talking to Dr. Kevin Roberts, coming from the great Republic of Texas to head the Heritage Foundation. Follow him at... I'll tell you right now. I had it. Kevin Roberts TX and heritage.org. We're talking about his new article, his vision for the conservative mothership. We're going to talk about your lawsuit. Super excited.
Good.
Getting into the trenches against the Biden administration. But first, bugbear, my bugbear. And this is what I helped Heritage with for a little bit. Andrew Breitbart was right. Politics is downstream from culture. By the time an issue arrives in this fetid, stinking swamp, I don't care what it is, Second Amendment, abortion, the border, by the time it's here, it has been settled 20 years ago in Hollywood, in the media, on social. It's irrelevant, really, what happens in this city. My worry is we still don't get what Andrew taught us. We love to have the PowerPoints. Here's the Laffer curve. Here's another slide. But we've forgotten what Reagan did, which is communicate emotionally. Ben Shapiro, I'm sorry, Ben, if you're listening, you're wrong. Yes, facts don't care about your feelings, but feelings win elections. Mm-hmm. We have the truth. Ronald Reagan had it, but he could communicate it emotionally. My old boss, President Trump, whatever you thought about him, there was no question he loved America. When he came out on that stage, it was genuine. What is it going to take for the conservative movement writ large to get back to that point where it's not just data and slides, but communicating with Americans?
You are 100% right. I'm not saying that just to be agreeable, but you're 100% right. And the good news is that we have learned that. And some examples are the recent election in Virginia.
Yes.
Not just Glenn Youngkin, but also scores of state house candidates, right?
Yeah, right.
And how were they communicating? They were leading with the emotion. They were leading with something in particular, which is acknowledging the frustration that these aforementioned apolitical parents had about the indoctrination. And then they were saying, guess what? If you elect me, I've got the facts to back this up, and I've got the policy solutions to do it. And so I think the logical extension of your question is, what's the Heritage Foundation going to do to make that permanent? And it's to make sure that we lead with those emotional acknowledgments, right?
And I think that's happening. I gave a speech to like 200 patriots in Virginia last night, and man, it was a culture war for them. But what can you do for the GOP to get it? Can you help the official conservatives understand what Reagan and what Trump gets instinctually?
Yes, and I'll tell you how. The very specific lane that the Heritage Foundation plays for the movement is to learn from our grassroots friends, which we have.
Yeah.
And then because we're headquartered in D.C., because we're willing to fight behind enemy lines, which is the nation's capital, to go spend time with members of Congress and their staff and convey to them, this is how you ought to communicate. I did that on my first day with the Republican Study Committee, members of the U.S. House. And obviously, we're going to learn from them about their needs, et cetera. But what was their number one question, Seb?
Tell me.
Kevin, how can we be better at messaging on what we need to be messaging?
Good. At least they realize they've got a problem.
It's a great sign.
First thing you have to do at Alcoholics Anonymous, allegedly. I don't know. Okay, let's talk about your law. It's not just about policies. You are jumping in feet first. You're taking action. What's this I hear about a lawsuit?
Hey, the Heritage Foundation has never filed a lawsuit in which it was a plaintiff until this week. And the reason is that, as I mentioned to our board last week as we were going into Thanksgiving, we've got this problem, and the problem is the vaccine mandate. And just as I did at Wyoming Catholic College, where we sued the Obama administration and we rejected federal student loans and grants, at the Heritage Foundation, I am never going to ask our employees for private health information we don't have the right
God
to.
Bless.
Let's go fight. And as I recommended to the board, and great credit to Kay James for agreeing with this and the board agreeing unanimously, let's go put a torpedo in the water in the form of this lawsuit. And that is what I mean, Seb, as I told our staff on Wednesday morning when I started. I am on offense every day, all the time, because that's what's at stake in this country.
All right, last question. I've been given my marching orders by my boss, who said, you got to ask him this question. Okay, Katie, I'm asking it right now. We are ecstatic about what's happening at the school boards. K through 12, I think we can fix it with the mama bears and with, you know, the dads who want to actually make things happen. You ran a college. Can we even fix higher ed? The schools, I think we can do. Can we save higher education in the colleges?
No, you got to overthrow it.
Dang.
And so control, alt, delete is how you fix American higher ed. So you got to start over. And we've got some ideas on the policy side when we have more time another day to fix it. But people need to understand, you know, with pick your spouse, your friend, put three hands together. There's no more than 15 colleges you need to be entertaining sending your kids to. It's that bad.
Where did you find this guy? I like him
State of Texas, brother.
I like these Texans. I mean, you know, I'm not allowed to endorse political candidates, but I have to tell you, this Dr. Kevin Roberts, he's got my vote as the new president of the Heritage Foundation, if it means anything. Guys, we love what Heritage has done since 1973 in the personage of Ed and Kay. And I think we're going to see a renaissance, a new kind of Heritage Foundation, because it is a marker. This guy is a historian. Did you hear what he just said? First time ever, Heritage has brought a suit where it is the plaintiff. And in this case, it is against the unconstitutional mandates. It is very clear that these are exciting times. Message in the last minute we have for those who maybe aren't familiar with Heritage, aren't a member. Why should they join?
Because we understand at Heritage that what is at stake is the future of America. We are always going to provide the policy solutions to fix the problems, but increasingly what we have been doing is showing a willingness to fight to lead the way. What Americans are looking for, whether or not they like all of the ways President Trump talked about things, is that same gut-level instinct of fighting. And I'm gonna use some word I don't use often, Seb. I promise them every single day, those of us who have to work inside the nation's capital, walk into that building at the Heritage Foundation, we are representing you, and we're going to fight for you every day.
Those are very, very stimulating words. I think you've done a great deal in the last 29 minutes to convince a good chunk of the 74 million that voted for President Trump that the conservative movement's mothership is in good hands. Can I get you to be a regular guest, maybe once a month or every couple of months, to come on and give us an update?
As often as you would like, it'd be my privilege.
All right, in front of a witness. His PR guru is in the room. We've got it. Nailed him down right now. I'm excited. Join today, heritage.org. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem Radio Network.
Of America First are brought to you in part by Prison Fellowship.
Car Firearms is fighting for America. Car executives stand with America First and are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand up for liberty. Please support our new Second Amendment Friday sponsor. Check out their amazing American-made weapons at car.com. That's K-A-H-R.com. K-A-H-R.com. It's Friday, which it means we have got to talk national security. We could call this the Heritage Day. We've got the new president comes in studio to talk to us. And, of course, our loyal national security foreign policy expert. He is, of course, Dr. Jim Colonel Carafano, preventing World War III, one tweet at a time. JJ Carafano is his handle. Jim, we got to talk about the Europeans, foreign relations, the White House. But first, the story that nobody's really talking about enough, Russia, Ukraine, are we on the brink of war?
Well, Europeans are talking about it. Yes. I told you I've talked to a number of Europeans, and they're just gobsmacked about what's going on.
So what's going on first?
Well, so Putin has massed masses of equipment on Ukraine and in a huge army there. And then he drew some of them off, and now he's sending them back. So there is an army big enough to invade Ukraine. If Putin wanted to invade Ukraine tomorrow, he could do it.
And he's sending messages to D.C. saying, don't arm the Ukrainians.
Right. Don't arm the Ukrainians. Don't have NATO troops. I mean, he's been very intimidating. And this is one of actually six or seven major provocations that the Russians are doing simultaneously. The response to that was to blink and waved his finger at Putin. And if you remember, Putin was a KGB agent, and they used to like take people's fingers and snap them off for fun. Yeah. So that wasn't very effective. So now Biden said he is going to meet with Putin. And today Biden says, well, I have a plan to deter the Russians, and I'm going to, you know, put this on the table with Putin. I don't think anybody thinks that this is really going to be very effective. But the big question is will Putin invade Ukraine? And, you know, my argument is, no, that doesn't mean he won't. He could wake up tomorrow and decide he does. I mean, I don't speak for Putin, obviously. But the analogy I use is like you are playing poker with the worst poker player on the planet Earth, right?
Who's the bad poker player?
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, right.
And what do you do? I would just keep playing, right?
Yeah.
You know, you could go all Tony Soprano and rob the game, but why bother, right?
What is the pretext? Because last time it was minorities and this is Russian territory anyway. Are we already hearing the pretext for an invasion?
Well, the thing right now is Putin is demanding essentially that NATO forswear NATO enlargement, that NATO completely withdraw from the Ukraine, disengage from the Ukraine. That's the thing. The ultimate goal is...
But if he uses force, what's his excuse going to be?
The
ethnic minorities?
He'll make one up. Doesn't matter.
Right.
People say, well, why do I care? It's not part of NATO. We don't have to defend it. But, and you know, look, he's got three countries, Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine. Each one he partially occupies. And they're there for the purpose, not that they themselves deliver very much. That is a spear into the West that he can use whenever he wants to destabilize the West. And and why does he want to do that? Because ultimately what he wants is for NATO to dissolve and for the United States to leave Europe. So essentially he can do whatever he wants.
Right.
And you're like, well, why do we care? And I'll tell you why we care. It's like, this is our house. And Vladimir Putin walks in and says, you can stay in the bedroom. And that's it.
Yeah.
Because that in the end, that's what the Chinese and Russians want. They want a
bigger sphere of influence. And at the end of the day, the answer to the question, why should we care, is It doesn't matter where the country is, what the theater is, if a sphere of influence of a fundamentally anti-democratic nation increases, that's bad for everybody. It's just simple math, Jim.
Yeah, if the Japanese had never stepped on American soil in 1945 and the Germans had never set foot in America, but they'd gotten the world that they wanted, you would have had a country that was completely cut off from trade and everything else. You call that freedom? I call that a prison.
Yeah, bingo.
That's what I call it.
Nicely put. I'm going to do something a little bit different because one of our most loyal callers, listeners, has got a superb national security question, and I want him to put it to our resident guest. Don, Los Angeles, happy Friday.
Oh, happy Friday to you, Dr. G. Mr. Carafano, hello to you as well.
Good to be talking to you.
You didn't think you were going to get to talk to the big cheese, did you, Don?
Wow, I mean, this is the dynamic duo of national security.
Well, you live in California, so you've lost all credibility with me, but take your best shot.
Hey, behave. No. Right, Don, ask your Asia-Pacific question to Jim.
Yeah, I'm behind enemy lines here, so I'm very close to the Pacific. I can see the Pacific from my living room. But what I was going to ask was, I've been hearing in the Epoch Times, they've been doing these magnificent articles on Taiwan.
Yes.
They just did a piece about the Baltic state representatives going to Taiwan. I mean, they're in the same boat. They're both under the gun. And but my question was, Mr. Abe, the former prime minister of Japan, I believe, made a statement. He said if China attacks Taiwan, he said the U.S. and Japan can't stay out. And I know South Korea and Japan can't stay out because if they take Taiwan, they can strangle Japan and Korea anytime they want, so they could win without a fight. And my question is, I've heard all these strategies about porcupines and poison frogs and poison shrimp. Could you just maybe give me a quick rundown of what you think we need to do to enhance deterrence and help the Taiwanese and then be ready to, you know, come over the horizon if necessary?
Yeah. Thank you, Don. Great question.
Right. So the first thing, of course, is everything Taiwan can do to support its self-defense. That's absolutely vital. The other thing is all these international connections to Taiwan that showing that really raises the bar and difficulty for the Chinese if countries are dealing with them, recognizing with them, engaging with them. So that's super important. And depending on them, because right now Taiwan is the chip maker of the universe. And if you take that offline, the entire world economy really suffers. So raising the bar on doing something in Taiwan in a way that you couldn't do with Hong Kong.
But what does that look like? What is raising the bar for America?
I think...
Say Biden weren't president. What would we do?
I think, you know, dramatically doing whatever you can to enhance their self-defense, creating as robust an international presence for them as we can. Access to international organizations, you know, relations with other countries.
But this is soft stuff.
Well, the arming them isn't soft stuff. But the third thing is you don't have to – you demonstrate the capacity to defend Taiwan.
Okay. So
that's what the Chinese were
have this exercise that demonstrates we have the global reach.
Put the capabilities – this is why, like, fielding the B-1 bomber is so important.
Yeah.
This is why Guam is so important.
Whatever happened, didn't the Bush administration promise these micro subs to Taiwan and they never went through on the deal?
But here's the thing is, America, I will fight to defend Taiwan. And I'll tell you exactly why. Because this will be the exact same thing as what happened in the, you know, because when the United States, after World War II, they said we would never fight to defend Korea. That was an official decision.
Right.
Everybody said, yeah, that's right. We don't care about Korea and everything else. That morning, Truman woke up and he found out Korea was debated. The first thing he said was go defend Korea. And why? Because he knew it was the end of his presidency if he did not defend Korea, because he's the guy that had lost China.
Yeah.
Biden has been hammered so many times. He's on everything. This president, Joe Biden, I swear to God, if China attacked, he would have to wake up the next morning and say, by God, we're going to defend Taiwan.
All right, we're going to talk about everything that our friends and allies are recoiling from in the last 11 months with the man who is national security and foreign policy for the conservative mothership, Jim Carafano, here on America First.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Carr Firearms.
A news update. The parents of the Michigan school shooter have been charged, both of them, with four counts of homicide or aiding and abetting, because the firearm belonged to the father. We'll give you more news as soon as we have it. They have been charged and are about to face arraignment. Please, all of you who haven't done so already but are considering, will you support our Angel Tree Prison Fellowship Program? This is from the amazing organization that Chuck Colson created for the more than a million children across America who have a mother or father incarcerated this Christmas. We help break the cycle. 70% of these kids are going to end up behind bars themselves, so let's help them feel loved. You can donate $25 to get a Christmas gift to one of these girls and boys on behalf of their incarcerated mother or father with a note of love and the gospel. Make a difference today. $125 would be five kids you are helping. Be a Christmas angel. Go to our website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Angel Tree banner at the top. Please donate as much as you can. If you've weathered the COVID storm, this is one of the most beautiful things you can do this Christmas. Or call them directly on 888-206-2794. That's 888-206-2794, or just go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, and click on the Angel Tree banner. We're back with Jim Carafano. Follow him, JJ Carafano, on Twitter. Join the Heritage Foundation today at heritage.org. You got to share with, I'm sorry, our listeners need to know, you are an amazingly vested, active individual. You travel the globe. You meet with our allies. What are you experiencing in the first 11 months of the Biden administration? Who's coming to talk to you off the record?
Well, that is really interesting, because, you know, I've been at Heritage a really long time. So I've been there Republican administrations, Democratic. Right. And here's what happens, right? When a new, not that we're partisan, because we're not, right?
No, but you're a conservative think tank.
When a new Democratic administration comes in, very few people want to talk to us.
Right.
Perfectly understandable. They want to talk to the new guys.
They go to Brookings.
Maybe. They want to understand them. They want to engage with the administration. Huh. And then, you know, later they come talk to you. So honestly, the first 2 years of the Obama, like, nobody came calling. I mean, I think as we got into particularly into the second term, people said, okay, this is not, foreign policy is not going well.
Right.
You know, there's got to be something better. And then people started engaging with us. But what's interesting is we are not even a full year into the Biden administration, and people are standing in line in front of my door to come and talk to Heritage.
And ask you, what's going on?
They either want to know, what does this administration think it's doing, because it looks disastrous, or nobody's answering our phone, or nobody's telling us anything.
Meaning the administration's not talking to our friends and allies.
They're not making decisions. We don't understand what they're doing. And unbelievable, the people saying, and what comes after this?
Yeah, how bad can it get?
No, I don't mean that. They mean, what comes after this? I mean, when are you guys going to ever have a sensible government again? And is that sensible government ever going to do sensible things?
So, no names, no pack drills as to, you know, which representatives you're meeting. But what do you tell them?
Well, first of all, a couple of things. You know, and look, I don't like bashing this administration, but their foreign policy is reflexive. It is reactive. They don't want to do foreign policy. They're not interested in foreign policy. They really are isolationists in the sense that they just want to ignore what the rest of the world is doing. They want to focus on domestic politics, and they're really only interested in foreign policy insofar as it reinforces their domestic agenda. So they love to talk about climate change, gender issues, all that. But they just want foreign policy to go away.
Or to placate people who are cool.
And they've got a left wing in a party, of course, who wants to embrace the Islamists and the Muslim Brotherhood and China and everybody else. So I don't see how they get better. I just be honest with you. I don't see how they get better.
I don't see a person amongst the cabinet members who could, like, step up to the plate in a reshuffle. I just don't see it.
No, there isn't there. But because it's a very weak – the most influential person is probably John Kerry. He was a peer of Biden. Biden respects Kerry. But
he's not foreign policy mastermind.
Yes, he is, because what Kerry is saying is the most important things are – climate change and the Iran deal, right? And so Kerry is...
Oh, you mean in that sense, he's providing a focal point.
We have to be soft on the Russians because we need their help on the Iran deal. We have to be soft on the Chinese because we need their help on climate change. And be, you know, be, they're a bunch of basically second order, you know, Obama people just doing what old Obama people did.
Yeah.
Here's what I said. Is there an alternative? Yeah. Look, I mean, if there is a powerful Republican majority in Congress, they can't turn foreign policy in a different direction, but they certainly can hold a president more accountable. So that's the good news.
So the midterms.
Then, you know, if you look at the conservative movement, it is actually way more cohesive than the other side. You know, are there isolationists? Sure. Are there internationalists and globalists? Yeah, fine. But the bulk of conservatives and the bulk of the leaders of the conservative movement are peace through strength Reagan, whether they know it or not, describe it that way or not.
And they don't want an Iran deal.
It was Donald Trump that did that. Donald Trump made it okay to be a peace through strength president.
Yeah, he brought it back, and we're so excited. It's a bright new future, especially with the new leadership at Heritage. Follow this guy, J.J. Carafano. Well, quickly, the name of the new book. It's the Military Strength.
Oh, Index of U.S. Military Strength, Heritage.org.
Go there right now, the Index of Military Strength, Heritage.org. We're coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that rid me of my lower back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I'm still pain-free more than 2.5 years later. Find out for yourself. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. You know it makes sense. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. Be the next success story. Do it today. You've waited long enough. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.